From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Kachava, KACHAVA.com, and use code NEWS. Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Truth.
Welcome to Trusting the Truth with Samuel Tolley, where we view the world through the lens of Jesus Christ. We do not view Jesus Christ through the lens of the world. How are you doing? This is Sam Tolley with Trusting the Truth. And today we're talking about the fact that we will not surrender the rainbow at all. You know, this is so-called Pride Month, where the LGBT crowd tries to influence society. But we as Bible-believing members of the Mordecai Mission going to always stand up for the will of God. And to get us started, I'm going to have Pastor Green come in with prayer and discuss what God's plan was for and is for the rainbow.
Amen. And let us bow our heads together. Dear Lord, we just thank you for gathering us together again to proclaim your word and to proclaim your godly standards. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you will be in the midst of us as we speak for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Pastor. I forgot you were going to enunciate on the rainbow.
Yes. Well, you know, the rainbow is a symbol of a covenant that God made with man. Specifically, Noah and his family, where God promised not to destroy the world by flooding it again. And as I said, the rainbow is God's covenant. And anything that God promises cannot have anything to do with homosexuality. You know, what the homosexual community does, they steal things and change its meaning. Well, we know that the rainbow is God's covenant with man, but the homosexuals have taken it to represent homosexuality and all sorts of perverted sexual acts. Just like the word gay used to mean happy and carefree. They took it and made it to be what they want their life to symbol. The one thing that they taken and didn't change was the word pride. And that is really something to behold, because God himself said he resisteth the proud, meaning he won't have anything to do with a person that's full of pride. And that is really symbolic of why homosexuality is a sin. And that nobody that is living a homosexual, lesbian, bisexual, trans, whatever they're doing sexually, cannot be both a Christian and a perverted person. And we know all sexual deviant behavior is a perversion. And we, as Christians, we must say that, and we must reclaim the rainbow to mean what God said it means. So it is a responsibility of the church to reclaim the rainbow. And we need to do it now. And not you.
Amen. You know, it's interesting that when the people that are against the will of God decided to incorporate the rainbow in their plans. Well, we all know, number one, that the devil was a counterfeiter, and he wants to be God. So he's going to always counterfeit. But this LGBTQ plus situation that really started, well, in the modern day, in 1969, the Stonewall riots in New York. You know, this Harvey Milk, this lesbian or this homosexual congressperson or representative in San Francisco, he commissioned the making of a symbol. And the symbol they decided to make was this flag. And the colors of the flag, if you look at the bottom, it says hot pink for sex, red for life, orange for healing, yellow for sunlight, green for nature, turquoise for art, indigo for harmony, and violet for spirit. Now, I didn't dig into whatever the meaning of all that stuff was, but it was interesting how they're going to talk about pink for sex. But we know that the person that wants to get rid of the rainbow is the same person that wants to get rid of us. And that is the devil. That is the person that is in charge of the destruction, if he's allowed to. Whereas, just like the that happens, that's in charge of it if he's allowed to do it. Now, I want to show you guys an acronym, and then we'll get into a discussion. And this acronym is based on the devil. Because, like I said, he is the one. So I use his name to present an acronym: debauchery, emotionalism, violence, ignorance, and lies. And I want to use that and go through this, starting off with debauchery. So, Jasmine, the devil's influence on our society, particularly with our children, in regards to debauchery. What do you have to say about that?
You know, this is, again, I say this is an on-time discussion, because right now it's a constant being shoved down the throats. you know, where it was something we should keep to ourselves when it comes to our beliefs. We should keep the Bible to ourselves, don't force it on anyone. But when it comes to the debauchery, the corruption of truth, the tainting of God's original design, all of that is okay to shove down people's throats, especially children, you know. And even if we look at the word debauchery, the definition is excessive indulgence and sensual pleasure. So it doesn't only mean indulgence in the sexual things that pride represents as well, but it's indulgence in everything that the flesh wants. So the flesh doesn't want to do good. You know, we were created to submit to God, resist the devil, love the acronym you did, and he will flee. But if we're told to just give in to these passions, we're born this way, you know, maybe God made a mistake. We're corrupting the children from such a young age by telling them that the truth is not really the truth. Maybe the truth is a little altered. And that right there is exactly the definition of indulging in something that is not true and living in apostasy.
Thank you. All right, Reese, what is your thoughts on debauchery?
My thoughts is that Satan, who is the author of confusion, knows exactly what he's doing at times. And for the LGBTQ to do the things that they're doing towards our children, they are taking the innocent and out there and are making them believe or having them to believe in something that is false, that is evil, that is debaucherous, if I might even make up a word, but it is deplorable and it's despicable what Satan is doing, and seeing that they are being allowed to do this in our communities, especially in our schools. We can't bring Jesus in, but we can bring homosexuality into our schools. We can have these people reading stories which are completely like against anything and everything that is of God. And we need to take it back. We should have never given it up. We should have, when they first did this, we should have stopped it at that point. But because we wait until it's almost too late, now we have a fight on our hands. But that fight is going to be won by Jesus. Amen. And in that, we have a winner. We just going to have to work a little bit harder. That's all.
Amen. All right, Pastor, you got the stage on debauchery.
Well, when you look at what the homosexual community tries to convey as truth, telling little boys they could be little girls, telling little girls they could be little boys, and the evil hypocrisy of the homosexual movement. I remember as a kid, and Bill, you might remember this person too. I remember Miss Anita Bryant. You know, the one who used to sing the Florida Oranges years back in the 70s, early 70s. And the debauchery in that, this woman was the lone voice against the beginnings of the homosexual movement. She saw what was coming. But the debauchery was that she couldn't get no Christians to stand with her. Not one organization, nothing.
Wow.
And that's the debauchery there, where they were able to attack her because she was the only one trying to warn America about what was coming. And we see that so often in Christianity, Christians fail to stand for righteousness. because of what? Fear. And there's the debauchery. We serve the creator of the universe. We serve a sovereign God. But we won't take a stand publicly for righteousness. And the homosexual movement is an example of what has happened because of the debauchery of Christians failing to take a stand for righteousness. It should have never got to this point where it got this strong and this prevalent. So Christians are responsible for this debauchery, for where it has grown and for what it has become.
I agree with you. You know, it's interesting, like I said, this debauchery is totally unnecessary, and it would have never happened if we wouldn't surrender ground. We got to the point where we, you know, like I like to say that the enemy wanted to get them out of the closet and throw us in it. And now, and then the lie was, oh, all they want to do is live their life, and they're not going to bother anybody, and they're not going to mess with your marriage or nothing. And then, yeah, now they're demanding that we accept it, and they're demanding that our children accept it. And then, if they, besides that, one of their great tools is emotionalism, which is the letter, second letter in our acronym. I was talking to my brother yesterday about this church he was involved in for years. And the church broke down and quit because one of the reasons, he said, was the pastor's son decided he was going to be a girl. And the pastor accepted that. Obviously, it didn't work well in the church, but he didn't take the stand of, I'm going to always love my son, but I'm not going to tolerate or accept this demonic influence or in his life. And I'm not going to participate in it. But he decided to participate in it. And unfortunately, one of my granddaughters is living that lifestyle. Love her to death. But I would never accept it. I would never participate in it if she decided to have a so-called same-sex wedding. And my position is clear. She absolutely knows my position. Everybody knows my position that's in my family in particular. I mean, I put my stuff online all the time. I don't tailor it for people. I try my best to tailor it for the Lord, you know. So emotionalism, Jasmine, is one of the weapons they love to use against us.
You know, it starts back, we were talking about it last night in my women's Bible study. Jesus says, love everyone. We have to love everyone. That's how the sentence ends. He doesn't say we have to accept sin. He doesn't say we have to agree with it to protect people's feelings. He says, love. And God truly loves us when he corrects us. So walking around and just giving in to, okay, they can, you know, let's let them live their lives and it's going to end there. It's going to be fine. It's not. It goes from exactly what you said, and you phrased it perfectly, taking them out of the closet and putting us into the closet. Because if we speak out, we're hurting the future five-year-old queer person or this person, when children are not born in confusion, unless it is thrust upon them. And then if people try to say something, well, you're violating my rights as a parent and you don't know what we've been through, and trying to get to the heart instead of getting to the heart of the issue, which is, again, the truth being twisted. That's why we have picture books now, where there's literally a picture book that's been released. I don't know if you've seen it yet. There is a grandfather dressed in leather, a leather bikini outfit with his boyfriend. In a picture book for children. And the publishers are defending it. Granddad's Pride, because it shows equality and it gives a beacon of hope for young ones who don't have any alphabet community role models. Wow. There's none because there are no role models. We cannot live in sin and be a role model. It doesn't matter if we say, well, we're a good person. We do this and this. That doesn't matter. Works are not it. It's our faith in Christ. If he has said no to something and we're willingly saying, yes, it's okay, and walking in it, then again, we are not in his will. So we are not a role model. We're just another confused member.
Amen. That's right. Yes. Yeah. The Bible tells us that if we put anybody before the Lord, we're not worthy of him. So that anybody means anybody. But what do you got to say about this emotionalism?
Well, the emotionalism, that's where they try to get us again. Jasmine spoke about it, but basically, if they know that they can try to hit people where they think it'll hit them the most, where it hurts, is like, well, hey, you know, you should be able to love who you want to love. And it's all about, isn't your God about love? I thought Jesus was all about love. What would he say now? You know, but they don't really, you know, but what they fail to talk about is the fact that God does not love sin. He hates sin. Okay, it's not the individual so much as it is the sin. Well, the individual makes that choice to live that type of lifestyle, and it's on them. But, however, God is not saying hate people. He's saying hate the sin. Well, actually, I think he hates the people for what they're doing. What they're doing is a hateful thing. So, therefore, it's hate against God. So, therefore, we should not be emotionally involved in that, not to say, well, hey, I too have a daughter who is claiming that lifestyle. And as much as I love her, and I love her to life, that she understands that as much as I love her, that I do not accept that lifestyle. And that I will never accept that lifestyle as a Christian man. I will never accept that lifestyle. But I love her. I will not be going to any weddings. If she would, you know, she can come by and visit me all she wants. But she's not to be bringing her quote unquote partner. That's not going to happen here. And I won't be going to any weddings. So I'm going to stand my ground with Jesus. I'm going to stand the ground with Jesus, and I'm going to join him, and I'm going to be that person, be that man that stands against that emotionalness that they're coming out with. They want you to feel bad for them. Oh, they're victims and all of this stuff like that. No, they make a choice just like anybody else. We make choices, and that's a choice that people have made to live that lifestyle. They weren't born like that. That is a choice.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right, Pastor. Emotionalism. As a pastor, you must run into or have ran into emotionalism a lot, and discerning between or dealing between that and God's word. In this realm, it must really be something. So tell me about it.
Well, you know, when you think about emotions, one of the things that we have to admit and we can't make excuses for, all forms of homosexuality is spiritually induced. It's a form of demon possession. Mm. And a lot of people will get offended if you say that, because, you know, those who have family members that are living that way, they get offended if you identify the source of why that person is living that way. It is spiritual. When you read Genesis 19, Jesus himself came down with two angels and said to Abraham, the sins of Sodom or Gomorrah cry against me. Meaning what? That spirit of homosexuality is openly defiant of God and his purpose. Mm-hmm. And this is why God dealt with it in such an extreme way, where he rained down fire and brimstone down upon the earth and destroyed that whole region. And you see, it's the emotional aspect, because one of the things that we read in scripture, anytime the Lord appeared, the demons got emotional and said, Lord, why are you here? Why are you here to challenge us before our time? And Jesus always tell those devils, be quiet, leave. So when we study scripture, we shouldn't be surprised by the emotions that come about when we as Christians, when our spirit is in the presence of that demonic spirit, you see people get emotionally uptight. They get angry. They become furious. And we don't even have to say nothing.
Yeah.
Just our very presence. Mm-hmm. Just the Holy Spirit that's in us is going to offend them to emotional outrage. So this is why we should not be afraid to confront it, because the Bible tells us in the name of Jesus, demons have to flee. But we're not causing demons to flee, because we are scared of the emotions. We are scared of the attack, the feedback, and we can't do that. And you know, I really believe some of these folk that are in this lifestyle, they need hands laid on them. These demons need to be cast out.
Amen.
But majority of Christians don't see it that way, because why? They don't want to offend nobody.
Okay. You know, that's interesting that you said that, because I remember what the Bible says, and you know, the word is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting them asunder. And I've seen times where you just give people the word and they just go apoplectic. It just messes them up. Like I said, you ain't got to say nothing. You just let the word cut them to shreds, you know. And many times they just can't deal with that. But now another tool that the enemy loves to do is, if they can't get you through their just debauchery and your emotionalism, then they're ready to use violence on you. Then, you know, we start standing up against that LGBTQ thing. And then they want to, you know, and unfortunately, we got too many people. Like I said, well, we don't want to make no waves, or we don't want to say that. And like I said, then they threaten you. We see Antifa and BLM and all these kind of people all the time, just ready to raise sand. Just like that thing, I think it was in Seattle or something a week ago. They had a Christian thing, violence. They're ready to come after us. They're coming after you, Jasmine.
Yeah, this is something that the Holy Spirit has had me in and researching for a couple of years now, because, again, as a mental health professional, seeing the damage that's done that no one wants to talk about. Because you're right, when you're going with it and you're compromising and you're willing to agree, then it's okay. Then you're part of the peace. They accept you. But then once you start to call out the sin, and the amount of things that don't make sense, even in human language, when you get on the subject of pronouns and people identifying as animals and identifying as different genders, then where's the truth? You know, so there's now people who have started to videotape and share. When people just evangelize, just stand by a pride fest and share the word, they could not say anything to challenge. They're just reading the word or saying, God loves you, repent. And people are coming up to them, shoving them, unplugging their equipment, tossing their things, calling the police on them for standing there. We had recently the attack in Seattle at the Fighting for the Kids march. Don't come for our kids. Where are the Christians? What are we doing? It's okay to speak out when God tells us to speak out against sin. And when they're coming for the next generation, because as you said, they can't create, so they can only recruit, as we talked about last time. And this is what is happening. It's a mass recruitment. I can be so bold as to say it's a mass brainwashing. If you have teachers in school calling other students despicable for refusing to call their classmate a cat, something's going on there, because children can see the truth. We shouldn't have to stand there and explain to our child, yes, that's God's rainbow, but they kind of altered it, so we can't get that shirt today. Children get it. Why can't we? The violence is real. It is not a community of peace. And how much are we going to give them ground? I also worked in addiction. So you know that saying, give them an inch, they take a mile?
Right.
How far are we away from really accepting anything, because love is love? They try to talk about the love between a stepmother and her stepchild, the love between a mother and son, and their right to marry if they want to, because they identify as romantic partners, even though she birthed him.
Ooh.
What are we willing to allow?
Oh, man. Thank you.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Reese. Wow. So like I
said, that's some crazy stuff, man. But Satan, who is the author of confusion, and he's got his demons out here doing all this stuff, confusing and confounding people, and making a lot of people fearful of this thing. The Bible says that this lifestyle is something that God he hates it, and we must not just be silent about it. We have to get out here, just as like they're marching and they're doing, we got to do the same thing. I remember years ago when certain movies would come out. I think it was The Last Temptation of Christ was a thing where they had scenes where, you know, they had William Dafoe playing Jesus. And I think he was having thoughts about having relationships with Mary Magdalene, having children and all this kind of stuff. And Christians came out in mass. I think it was all denominations that came out there, and they picketed that movie and they fought again. They didn't go along with it. And we have gone along with this. We have just in our silence, we have allowed so much to go on.
They wouldn't let
and
that
so
happen.
Their violence against us is saying, well, they ain't gonna do nothing, so we can be violent to them. They're supposed to be Christians. They're not, they're supposed to be non-violent. They can't, no. I'm not saying that we're to go out here and hurt people, but hey, if it come down to them and me, I gotta go with them and God. I gotta go with God every time. So, it is what it is, and we can't be fearful. We can't allow our fear of them being violent, whether it's psychologically violent or physically violent, that we cannot allow them to get that close to us. We have to stay in God, and we have to fight for what we know is right, for what we know that what they're doing is so, so very wrong. And if we have to get violent with it, and, you know, God forbid, I'm not saying go out here and riot and destroy, but what I'm saying is that we have to fight, we have to stand up against Satan and his imps at every corner, at every turn.
Amen.
And so their violence can't affect me. I'm not going to let that, I'm not having it. I'm going to be an alpha every time.
I'm with you, my brother.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, like I said, these folks, violence is one of their tools. Well, it's always been one of the tools of the devil.
Well, if you remember, when the two angels came into Sodom, and they went inside Lot's house, and the whole community found out they were there. They were trying to break down the door. They were willing. They were getting violent.
That's right.
The angel of the Lord had to put blindness upon them, and they're still blind today, and they're still violent today.
Listen, all the men.
Yeah, but you know, we as Christians, we need to stop being so shocked as to how they behave. The devil ain't got no coof. And those who serve him, they are violent, they are extreme. And when you really think about it, they're violent, but we're peaceful.
Yeah.
So you see the distinction in natures, righteousness and ungodliness. And we can't be afraid of the violence. We can't be afraid. We can't have the spirit of fear when dealing with this. And see, that's what they really use. Their main source is what? Intimidation.
Mm-hmm.
Intimidation. Yep. This is how they become so prevalent, so strong, because their violent nature intimidates people. You know, it was back in 1972 in New York when they had the a convention of psychiatrists, and you know, this used to be called a mental illness,
right?
Which it is, but because they got so violent, they became so extreme, and they raided that convention. This is why they changed the definition of that being a mental illness to now it's not considered a mental illness, because people were afraid of the violence that would come if you come against these people who act like this, who live like this. You know, even Stonewall in itself was a violent act. Forget the fact that they were wrong and misbehaving. They attacked the cops. So this has been their modus operandi, where they let violence is symbolic of them. And it's going to increase. They're not going to change unless they're born again. So we as Christians, we need to stop being afraid and deal with them as they are and give them the gospel. We're not going to engage in fisticuffs or violent acts. But this spirit must be conquered with the word of God.
Amen.
For the spiritual battle.
Amen. You know, it's interesting when you mentioned the Sodom and Gomorrah story about them grappling at the door, trying to break in. Even after the angels blinded them, they were still trying to get in. So your point about the fact that they ain't gonna change, that didn't change them. That didn't make them say, oh, Lord, wait a minute, I'm sorry. They were still trying to get to those angels. So that demonic spirit, the violence, their attitude of just using whatever means they can to accomplish their goal, it's not going to change. And I think one of the biggest hindrances of many folks in the church is our next acronym, ignorance. We got so many people that are ignorant. And when you're ignorant biblically, you leave yourself open for emotionalism and deception. You leave yourself open to be misused, misguided, misdirected, confused, and just stupid. When Jesus told us to make, you know, disciples of men, teaching them to obey everything that he said. And I mean, it was interesting. He didn't say, well, just see about what makes them feel good. You know, he said, whatever. He said, teach them to obey. And unfortunately, we got this Christianity now where a lot of folks, if it doesn't feel good, like you said, or like when Reese was talking about, well, that's not loving. And I always love to use this analogy. Little Johnny loves to play out in the street, but if you tell little Johnny you go out in the street, you're going to get hit by a car. So little Johnny goes out in the street, you whoop little Johnny's butt to get him to stay out of the street, you know? So Jasmine, ignorance is something that unfortunately is rampant in the body of Christ.
And that's the sad part too. We mentioned it again in the last podcast, sitting back and just letting the world burn around us, waiting for the rapture. We need to know what's going on because most of us are still sending our children to school. So they are most certainly going to be presented with these ideas that, oh no, we don't talk about that. We're just waiting. We're waiting to leave. We're all packed and ready to go. You know, there are over, depending on who you ask or what place you ask, they identify, what was it? Anywhere from 35 to 80 different genders, aside from male and female. Okay. And then I believe they're now up to how many different sexualities in the LGBTQIA plus, got to take a breath after that one. Ooh. After that acronym itself, there's 15 in there. The plus sign stands for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different gender identities, including something called a two-spirit identity, including something called aromantic, gender fluid, agender, when you don't have any gender. And we may say, okay, well, this doesn't matter because we're not going to Pride festivals. We're not doing this. Okay. But they were very much introducing a gender person on a children's show on Disney and calling them they, them.
Wow.
So it's coming on Disney. Blue's Clues had an episode just on YouTube of a gay pride parade and how families are different in different ways. And they had a drag queen on Blue's Clues. Blue's Clues. I don't know if you guys remember the show Arthur. That 90s show. They brought it back and they put, again, gay characters. The Rugrats. They made one of the moms a lesbian now. We have to be aware and we have to know what's going on, because if we don't stand for the truth and know the lies being told, how can we counteract them? We have to counteract the counterfeit with the truth.
That's right.
Stop being afraid to speak up, because our children are listening. And if we're not willing to speak about it, if we're not willing to have those conversations, there are a ton of people out there ready to give them an open embrace of acceptance, because love is love.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Love is Jesus. Jesus is love. God is love.
Right.
And I just to comment on what Reese was saying before about The Last Temptation, there is a reboot of Jesus Christ Superstar, the debauchery in that alone. Would you like to know who's playing Jesus, Samuel?
Isn't it that woman that was green and wicked?
Yes. Jesus is being played by a woman who played in Wicked, and Judas is being played by Adam Lambert, and they're going to continue with the love triangle of Mary Magdalene, Judas, and Jesus, but Jesus this time is a female, and we're supposed to sit back and stay quiet because who knows, maybe he was. No, he wasn't. He clearly was not. The truth is black and white. We have to stop pretending there's gray.
Wow. That's crazy. Well, Reese, the ignorance.
Well, I mean, right there, Jasmine is all like hitting me all over the head, because I've been like, you know, when I first heard, well, number one, that whole Jesus Christ Superstar thing is off the mark anyway. So, but for them to take this and now make Jesus a woman and everything else that's going along with that, it just shows you right there that they don't care about what we feel, what we believe in, and we just let them go ahead, do do you. And we used to stand up for something. Where are we? Like, I want to get out there. I want to get out. No, this is not going to happen. You're not, you wouldn't say that and go to the Islam and tell them, you know, Muhammad was a woman.
Oh,
you're not going to do that. But with our Lord, they feel that they can mock and do whatever they feel. And because there's no backlash, there's no pushback, there's nothing. There's silence. And the cost of our silence is now it's gone far beyond the pale.
Amen.
And so we have to get out there. Now, just like Pastor Green said, we have to go out there. Yes, we got to use the word. We got to go by God's word. But we also have to go out in numbers. We have to show them that this is not going to happen, not on our watch. Okay, right. The Mordecai mission ain't having it. Okay, we're not dealing with that. Y'all doing all this. This is way, way. You know, 10, 20 years ago, I would have never thought that things would have gotten this far. And I wasn't even really a true Christian like that at that time. And I would have never thought that things would have gotten this far. But the cost of our silence is costing us dearly. It's costing us our children because that's who they're after. They're not worried about me. I'm already, you know, I'm in my late 60s. I'm almost, you know, I'm over the hill now. But they're catching our children now. They're trying to have them, they're desensitizing them to this thing.
Right.
And we can't have it as Christians. We got to stand up for what we know is right, for what we believe in.
Amen.
And we can't stop. We cannot stop because they're not stopping.
Not at all. All right, Pastor, you back with us?
Yes, I am.
So we're in the ignorance, and we sent the body of Christ. A lot of us, like I said, many of us is ignorant of the Bible. And just like Jasmine said, many of us is ignorant as to what's going on. And if you're ignorant, you do stupid stuff, or you don't do nothing, or you do whatever. What say you?
Well, you know, one aspect of ignorance that many a Christian needs to understand. If your ignorance stops you from being a voice for righteousness, it's going to cost you heaven. You know, Jesus said in his word, if you deny me before men on earth, I will deny you before my angels in heaven. So those who think they can be a Christian and stay silent and stay mute in the face of sin, that's ignorance. That's self-deception.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking you could just be a good Christian, thinking you could just be a good person. To be in silence is to be in consent.
Mm.
So all of those who won't take a public stand for righteousness in regards to this issue, any sin issue, is ignorant of the fact that you have become something disgusting to God. Now, how can a person, somebody might, well, Jesus said, if you're neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth. And many Christians are ignorant to that fact, that if God can't use you, He's not going to reward you in heaven. If God can't use you, you're going to hear four words when you stand before Him. I never knew you.
You don't want to hear that.
Better stop being ignorant to the fact that silence can lead to spiritual death. Silence can lead to the second death. And what is the second death? Is when you stand before God and He cast you into the lake of fire. Remember what Revelation 21:8 said? The fearful shall be partakers in the lake of fire. people better stop being ignorant to God's words and his standards and better become hot for the Lord.
That's right. And that's interesting when you meant the ignorance, and when you mentioned Revelations 21:8, and the last part of that scripture says, and all liars. And that is the last letter in our acronym as we're getting ready to shut down. You know, Jesus was talking to the Jews. He said, you are of your father, the devil. You know, he's the father of lies. And lies is something that he uses constantly. That's one of the reasons why I believe that the prior election was stolen, was based on lies. I believe all kinds of devilmen and evil we have to deal with is based on the devil's lies. And unfortunately, people don't, like I said, the ignorance of people not reading the Bible, because it says if you know the truth will set you free. They don't know the truth because they believe a lie. So I'll let you get some comments in here real quick on lies. Jasmine?
God loves us exactly as we are. He's going to accept us because he's a loving God. Why would he judge us? Lie number one. How about we read the Bible anywhere? But especially in Revelations chapter 21, verse 8, if I may. This will be my comment for this. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, we've talked about a few detestable things so far.
Yeah.
As for murderers, and you murder with hate in your heart, you can't tell me that many who are upset, we won't compromise, don't hate. The sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And they always want to say that lie of inclusivity. You got to include everyone. Everybody has to feel included. So, yeah, there's inclusivity right here. They inclusify all those sins together. And he says the sin. He lumps them together and says all those will have the lake of fire as their inheritance. And as you were saying, I don't want to hear you made it in. I don't want to hear I never knew you. I want to hear well done, my good and faithful servant. And I want hell to tremble every time my feet touch the ground out my bed. And that is being brave enough to speak the truth, no matter how old or how young we are, standing up for Jesus, no matter the cost, because consecration cost.
That's it. Thank you. All right, Lee Reese.
Wow.
The devil's a liar.
The devil is a liar. And see, that's what they count on. They figure that if they continuously tell a lie long enough, that people will start to accept it as the truth. And that's what's happening here. They are accepting it. We are accepting it. I'm talking about other Christians who are ignorant, who don't know. We are accepting it as the truth. We don't want to judge anybody. We don't want to, no. Let the word be your judge. Okay? But we cannot believe the lie. We cannot. We got to tell the truth in spite of the lie. We got to keep on going. And we got to keep on telling the truth. We got to be in our word. We got to know our word. But we also got to live it. And if we're not living the word, if we're not living what we say we are about, then therefore it gives them an opportunity to perpetuate more lies against us. And look at them. They're lying. Look at they're not living what they say. But what we have here is the truth. And so Satan uses lies. As he said, he is the master of lies and deception. And we need to be that against that. We need to be bucking up against that, that we come up with truth every time, that we pray together, that we read and we study the word so mm-hmm. that these lies can't go forward without hearing some facts and truth. And so therefore, we know they're going to lie about us. They lied about Jesus.
Right.
But okay. We know he is the truth. He's and the in truth. In that, we, again, I said earlier that we are winners in that. No matter what lies they tell, that they can't outlie the truth.
Amen. Let me get the pastor in here before we shut this thing down. Go ahead, pastor.
No, this is the understanding that we as Christians, we have to have. If God can't use us on earth, then he won't reward us in heaven. You know, I hate to hear this when people say, oh, I just made it in. Or people who you don't expect to see in heaven going to be in heaven. No, that's not true. If you are not displaying fruits of the spirit on earth, you're not getting into heaven. People are not just going to make it in. No. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And if you're not living godly, if you're not living holy, if you're not living in obedience, heaven is not going to be for you. You will not live. You will not spend eternity in heaven. But those who are disobedient, those who... Now, you got Christians who never even witness to people since they've been saved and think they're heaven bound. Mm-hmm. That's deception.
Amen.
That's deception. So we can't be deceived, but we have to be living vessels of honor right now. So people who are listening to this and you have never let the Lord use you, you have never stood publicly for righteousness, you better rededicate your life to the Lord and start letting him use you for his glory and for his purposes.
Amen. Well, you know, there was a quote by Joseph Goebbels. He said, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will come to believe it. He said something to that effect. Now, Joseph Goebbels was enunciated that all liars is going to be in the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, throughout the Bible, it tells us to obey what Christ says. In this world, there's two places you can go for information. You can go to the Lord, or you can go to the devil. You know, it's your choice. The devil will feed you lies, and he will feed you things that try to make you feel good. But we want to stand with the truth and righteousness from the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who welcomes all, because he's paid for all. But all aren't coming because many refuse to accept that payment. So, we here at the Mordecai Mission want to stand up for the Lord. We want to stand up for his word. We want to stand up for his righteousness, no matter what. And we will not stand for debauchery, emotionalism, violence, ignorance, or lies, because we stand for Jesus Christ. So, and that is the Sam Tolley, and I'm out.